Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Community Legacy League Recap. My name is Patrick. I'm your Legacy newbie this week. With me, I have the crew on today. Full crew. We got Mr. Danny. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? We got Tom on the call. What's up, Tom?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing well. And Steven is here. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for joining us this week.
Yeah, happy to be here. So we got a lot to talk about this week, so I figure we'll get right into it. Did anyone have anything exciting happen during the Legacy League last week? I don't have much to talk about. I went 0-3 drop. I decided not to stream that week. I just wasn't feeling it. Thankfully, I didn't have to subject anyone to my awful play the entire night. Tom was nice enough to stream, and that's all I really have to say about the league this week.
You picked a good week to take off.
Yes, I did. It worked out well.
I also didn't do very well. I went 1-2, and then around 4, my opponent got disconnected, so 2-2 for me. That was my first time playing Grixis Delver. It was a little getting used to the deck, but not too good of a week.
Yeah, I saw you transferring over to Grixis, so you enjoying the deck so far?
Yeah, I'm going to be back to Infect again here shortly, but I'll be borrowing some cards from Steven to play Death and Taxes next couple weeks.
Oh, nice. I think Death and Taxes is pretty well positioned right now, if you can get the cards for it.
Yeah, it's just the ports are kind of expensive, but luckily, you know, Steve's got them. So.
Yeah, my man. What about you, Tom? How'd you do this week, man?
Ran my traditional Bug Hex step stick, finished 3-1. I think this is actually going to be the last week I run it for a little while. Steve was nice enough to loan me some Lilianas, so I'm going to try Aggro Loam for a week or two, see how that goes.
Nice.
Had some really interesting matches, especially the first round. I played against lands, and that is a really intricate matchup with dueling Thespian stages, and them having Ghost Quarters, Wastelands, Maze of Ith, prop rotations. It's just tons of tutors on both sides, just a lot of play back and forth, and like the most subtle little decisions can shift it. Like,
someone's dog loves the mini games you play in that game.
Yeah, well, she likes the Lands Mirror, so it works. Anytime I talk about it, she gets really excited.
and you, I mean, it looks like since the last time we talked, you actually locked up your first buy for the first quarterly this year, right?
I have no idea.
It looks like you're at 26. You were at 19, so yeah, I think since the last time we recorded, it looks like you locked it up, so congrats on that, man.
Oh, thanks. Well, now I can definitely run some more experimental decks going forward.
Steven, how'd you do last week, man?
I played a new Miracles build to a kind of disappointing 2-2 result. I cut the Mentors for a more in the Lissette direction with the Legends build and just still getting used to it, so.
Okay. Hey, I have a quick question about the Legends build. It runs Venser, right?
It does. Like, some of the lists will run two, like the true Lissette builds do. The one I'm playing, I'm only playing one Venser, two clicks, so.
Oh, okay. And those are your primary win conditions, no Mentors.
Right, there's no Mentors, just those creatures, and then Jace, of course.
Oh, okay, because I hear the term get thrown around a lot of Legends Miracles, I was just wondering.
The Legends builds often will include, like, an Entreat or two as well, so.
Oh, okay, cool.
Awesome, so I know that something we had kind of discussed in previous weeks was just sort of talking about the overall Magic Online metagame, not just necessarily the one that is limited to the league. So I dropped a link in the chat. I was wondering if you guys had any kind of thoughts on where the metagame is standing right now and, you know, kind of what you expect maybe to be viable or a really good choice going into any leagues, you know, up in the upcoming weeks.
I know we had talked about it in last week, but Sultai is just on the rise. Even in our league, Sultai is everywhere. I saw last week, I was just, you know, watching in on several games, and there was Fatal Pushes being thrown around like crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that card just seems so good. Like, I don't understand how it's, you know, not a four of in most decks.
So there was a really great article on Goldfish this month in Legacy. Sean Brown does it every month. And one of the things he did mention was, yeah, absolutely, with Fatal Push, like, I think especially, like, it helps push down, like, the Tarmogoyf decks, because, you know, previously Tarmogoyf was really just kind of concerned about like the occasional Lightning Bolt and then Abrupt Decay, but having another one mana, and I guess, to a lesser extent, Swords was another problem for that card, but with having a one mana answer to it that doesn't slow down the deck opposing the Tarmogoyf, it seems like it's a sort of in a just been brought down a few pegs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, also it seems like with Sultai on the Rise, with more Abrupt Decays being played, you see other decks that are just seem to be a little bit better against Abrupt Decay, like Sneak and Show. Mm-hmm. Sneak and Show all of a sudden popped up into the top eight of the metagame, and that card's so good against Abrupt Decay, it doesn't really, Abrupt Decay doesn't really hit anything there.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
And like another thing is like Elves. Elves is number 7 in the metagame, and I imagine Abrupt Decay is not very good against that deck either.
Yeah, that's not the kind of deck you want to trade one for one with, because they're just, you know how Elves does. They just flood the board. We've definitely seen a lot of the bug decks, like the 3-color bug decks, come up, sort of on the like riding the Leovold True Name Nemesis wave that Reduke kind of started there. Or at least certainly propelled it faster than it was going previously. Have you guys seen a lot, kind of like an uptick in the matchups you've been playing in any leagues?
I think Tom's been... Tom, you played a league last week, didn't you?
Yeah, I played 2 leagues in the last 2 weeks, but I got kicked off the call, so I missed the question.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, just talking about the... Yeah, so, you know, with Reduke kind of pushing the Leovold / True Name decks kind of into the format, or at least higher into the format... We've seen a lot more of the Bug Delver decks, and I wasn't sure if you saw more of them in the leagues you've been playing in personally.
Yeah, personally, I've seen a lot of Bug, a lot of Miracles, and more Storm than I've seen recently. In both varieties, I've seen more Tess and more Ant. Mm-hmm. Those are the 3 decks I'm seeing more often than previously. Yeah. And I think 2 of those have to do with Eldrazi. The downtick, like Storm, is just... I think it's much better position than it was a month or two ago to come in, and the bug decks are really good. I think, I forget who it was, the team tournament, Star City, just had the team that won the Legacy deck was a version of Bug.
Okay.
Was almost identical to Reduce list.
Well, I think that, like, the bug decks, so a lot of the Miracles decks have been playing, like, the Engineer Explosives in the main to fight against, like, the Chalice for One that Eldrazi will often play. And so I think between the EEs and the Miracles decks, and also like the bug decks having access to Abrupt Decays, 4 Abrupt Decays in the main board, has really pushed down the Eldrazi deck. Because I think what really propelled the Eldrazi deck was just playing Chalice for One and having beaters to back it up before the opponent can recover. And when like 2 of the top 3 decks are able to pretty easily deal with the Chalice for One, and to a lesser extent having some... between the 2 decks having some decent removal spells for the creature suite, seems like Eldrazi has gone kind of shot down in the meta, and I definitely expected when Eldrazi went down, we'd see Miracles and something else come up, because Eldrazi was the deck that pushed Miracles down in the first place, 6-8 months ago, so seems like Miracles is bouncing back, and yeah, also very interested to see Storm kind of coming in the forefront here. It's not a deck that I'm used to seeing a lot online, and I certainly see it more often now.
Miracles bouncing back is relative, though. It was still the number 1 deck in the format.
Oh yeah, no. So it was like it like dropped to like 12%, and now it's back to like 18. And I think pre Eldrazi it was closer to like 20, mm-hmm. So 20-22. So yeah, I think you're definitely right. It's certainly relative. It was never even the number 2 deck, but it just wasn't as much of a huge chunk of the metagame, which was, I don't know, I was kind of happy to see that personally. It's unfortunate that it's on the back of a Chalice deck. Like, even though I enjoy playing Eldrazi, like, the Eldrazi deck really just doesn't let people play a lot of Magic a lot of times, and so it's kind of unfortunate to see, like, what pushes down the bully in the metagame is just a sort of an unfair deck. But, you know, that being said, it was nice to see Miracles have less piece of the pie overall.
I think another interesting thing, like, to note is that Miracles is maybe, like, if we're looking at MTG Goldfish, a little overrepresented, because online it's so much cheaper than a lot of the decks that are good against it, like Sultai Delver, Death and Taxes, you know, like your Bug Delver and Shardless. All those decks are significantly more expensive than Miracles, and while they're good against it, like, even or better, I mean, when you're at that much more of a premium to play one of those decks, it's understandable why people settle on Miracles. Like, it's still a blue deck with Force of Will and Brainstorm at least, and I can understand why they would do that.
Yeah, I didn't realize how cheap. I mean, I knew that Miracles was pretty cheap, but even Storm is actually only, they're looking around 344 ticks for the deck online, which is super cheap for a Legacy deck. I never realized that was actually budget on Magic Online.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, I think those percentages are skewed even further, not just because the deck's cheaper, but Goldfish basically tracks wins, and online you can see an individual player in any given week. You see weeks where one player gets 5 or 6 5-0s. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the overall leaderboard, a whole bunch of players that play Miracles have a bunch of top finishes.
Yeah.
So when you have 5 or 6 really good players putting up a ton of finishes, to me, I don't think the 18 or 19 or whatever percent it says is really indicative of how often you'll run into it in a tournament or in a league. I think it's kind of skewed by some of the really good players are running up a lot of results with the deck.
Okay. Yeah, you bring up a good point, because I played in, I think, like 4 leagues in the past month, and I didn't face Miracles once.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't think it's 18 or 19% of the league metagame. I think it's probably closer to 12 to 15%, and you just have 4 or 5 really, really good players that are running up results with the deck.
That's a really interesting insight. I think that's pretty great. Now, I'm curious if you guys think that, like, it's still the best deck, or if the best players are just drawn to the deck, and that's what gives it its results online?
I think it's still the best deck, yeah.
I was hoping to have some kind of debate on that, but I think that the best players prefer Miracles, because I think you get the most edges out of that deck more than a lot of the other decks in the metagame, and it is just kind of the most powerful deck on its own in a vacuum there.
A really good recipe is putting the best deck with the best players. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah, I was talking to LSV. I think this was before might have been a GP in Worcester for one of the big Legacy events. I don't know if it was an SCG Open or whatever. And he said he was playing Miracles, and I said, is that because it's the deck you are best at, or the best deck in the format? And he just said, yes. I said, all right. it's kind of one of those things. All right, cool. So I know we sort of talked about it, you know, kind of touched on it real quickly, but I did want to sort of go over the Season 2 leaderboard here. And it looks like we have, you know, probably six people really, like, well, I guess, well, if we remove Tom from the running, because he's already got his first bye. You know, we have like six people who are still in, you know, have a possibility of earning that round one bye for the quarterly. That's March 25th. Is that right, Danny?
The first quarterly event will be March 25th, noontime Eastern Standard.
Awesome. So, we have Stevens in there, Strinath 777, who's had some good results in the last few weeks. Myself, Wekapipo, One With Nothing, all within like 12 points or more, so all within 8 points of getting their first bye. So just like a couple top 4 finishes will get them there, which is pretty interesting, and should make for an exciting stretch down the, kind of an exciting run down the stretch here.
Yeah, I'm actually really interested to see how this little, how this is going to play out and how people are going to start fighting out for byes. It's been good with the increased turnout we've had the past couple weeks. To see actual people really fighting for that that top 4 spot.
Yeah,
it's been cool. Yeah, it seems like sometimes even players are staying in rounds 3 and 4 to just Dream Crush people.
Yep. Yeah, not me. I dropped out. I dropped after round 3 last week because I was having a bad night. So Danny, the date for the first quarterly was March 25th. You said. If people want to enter, how do they get into it, man?
It's pretty simple. You would just go to gatherling.com, go to your, make an account, obviously, go to your player control panel. It's on the left bottom or the top left of the screen, pre-register for events. And when it gets closer to the event, probably like a week before March 25th, I'll create that event. You just click pre-register, add your deck list, and you're good to go. Of note, if you do have a buy, I will add you in to the event with your buy. So send me your deck list directly. I'll get in touch with you. Whoever has a buy, I'll be in touch.
Awesome. Nice. And if anyone wants to get in for any other week, it's the same kind of the same format, right? Getting through Gatherling and whatnot.
Yeah. Every week we just use Gatherling as our the tournament host site. is just go, you know, make an account and then simply register via your player control panel. And every week, I normally make the event for the following week around Monday. I just made the one for Wednesday today.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know we kind of had it on the notes. Did you guys want to talk about the Modern Masters? I guess they spoiled the packaging. Did you want to kind of go into some rampant speculation on that, or do you want to save it for another week?
We can talk about Grizzlebrand real quick.
Yeah, so yeah, front and center on the packaging was Grizzlebrand, which is pretty exciting. I know we were talking earlier about the price on Grizzlebrands has just been kind of insane, and I think we'll see a pretty big drop on the card, right?
Yeah, I mean, Black Red Reanimator has really become a deck that people are really being drawn to because it's kind of like, for one, it's a really consistent combo deck. Except if you're online and you play Animate Dead.
I think that got fixed, though, right?
Oh, did it?
I think so.
Okay, good. It got fixed this week, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the only way that I beat Tom when we were playtesting against it. I was like, yes, play that Animate Dead. You know, it seems like Black Red Reanimator seems to be becoming really popular. And this is just going to help its case even more.
Awesome. Awesome.
And I think Black Red Reanimator is like a good entry point for people too, like not only price wise, but just it's a little more straightforward than some of the other more intricate legacy decks maybe.
Yeah, because I mean it's pretty much discard spells, go for combo.
Yeah, like I mean it's pretty clear what you're trying to do, and that's not always a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this is like the new Eldrazi deck, where it's like a good deck to get into the format, has sort of a linear play style, and sometimes just wins on turn one, and that's very appealing to new legacy players?
I mean, I don't definitely... see it. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I would definitely, it would be on my list of recommendations if someone newer was asking, I think.
Cool.
Yeah, because I think that the whole deck and paper is even, what, $500? Yeah, that's not bad for a legacy deck.
No, not at all. Not at all. Just on the price, it looks like Grizzlebrand's dropped from about 30 ticks to just over 25 now. So, seen a pretty you know sharp decline in price already, which is nice to see. I'm assuming it's going to be a mythic in the Modern Masters 2017 set.
Yeah,
along with Domirade, and I think that other one is Elspeth. Though I could be mistaken, though I'm not sure.
No, I think it's some angel.
Oh, okay.
It's like I can't remember the name of the angel, but it's something.
Oh yeah, that would explain the wings, right?
Yeah. I think it's from like Time Spiral or something like that. I can't remember.
Cool. And then the box has like this blue mage on there with like some lightning coming out of his hands, and I think it's actually going to be Snapcaster Mage. I think with new art would be a really good sell for that new set.
That'd be cool if they don't use the RPGQ art, because personally I didn't like that. I know some people did, I guess, but
I liked it just in the fact that we talked about it a lot on the other cast, but what I liked about it was just that it showed motion, which just kind of to me indicated like that it was a flash creature. The other one's just some dude standing there with a big like Mega Man arm, and it doesn't look very like doesn't yell flash to me, you know. But yeah, I think the art is pretty cool. I'm curious to see if it's going to be for Snapcaster Mage. If it is, I'll be happy to see it. Plus, I think like the nice thing about the RPTQ art is that it's just for the RPTQ, right? I think it kind of cheapens it if it's art that's used for another, you know, the same card, obviously, but in another format.
That's a good point. Makes it a little less special then, maybe. Yeah.
All right, so...
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that, Danny?
I was wondering, do you think they're going to reprint Goyf again?
Oh, man. So they've done it both times and released Modern Masters, right?
Yeah, so I'm wondering if it's just like, that's just like the staple green mythic.
I don't know, man. Like, is Goyf going to be that good, like, with Fatal Push in the format now? I think that Goyf, especially in Modern, has just gotten worse with Fatal Push.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if that was an intent, because you know they mess with Modern a little bit with Standard. I'm curious if that was an intentional thing, like, because Fatal Push is just kind of a really good card in the Eternal formats. And it was just a one-mana answer to Tarmogoyf, which I don't think they really had in Modern, necessarily. They had, like, what, they have... Path to Exile, and they have Bolt, which doesn't always take care of it. But I think those are the only one-mana answers in the format for it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this gives Grixis Delver, or any Grixis deck in Modern, a big uptick.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. I don't play in Modern, but it's cool to see them have some tools for it. So I don't know, man. I hope they don't do Tarmogoyf, because I think that it kind of skews the value of the packs there, and I think if they already have something like Grizzlebrand in there, and maybe something like Snapcaster, maybe they don't need Charmogoyf to carry the value of the boxes, but we'll see.
Especially like with Liliana being a possibility too, like throwing Goyf with all that, this seems like it's doesn't mathematically work out.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree there. Because then you get boxes that are just selling for way above MSRP, and I think they learned from the first run of Modern Masters that's not where they want to be. Like, even though players want boxes that have tons of value in them, it just increases the price of the boxes, and then players get pissed off if they're paying, like, you know, like 2 to 3 times what MSRP is for a box, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I just hope that they make a good draft format out of it, because I'll probably do a couple drafts of it.
Yeah, I enjoyed, like, I didn't draft Modern Masters 15, but I did draft EMA a few times, and I actually really enjoyed that format, and it wasn't necessarily just the play of the format, it was also, like, the fact that the cards that I was drafting, some of them were actually Legacy playable, which is pretty exciting, because if I go draft Amonkhet, like, I'm not going to get any Legacy playable cards, more than likely, but when you're drafting EMA, like, you're opening 3 packs, you could have Legacy cards in there, you're going to win packs that may have Legacy cards in there, which is kind of exciting, so...
Yeah, I kind of like the Master Series that they do. It kind of gives the Eternal players a draft format as well.
Yeah,
you know, totally. The standard players get their draft formats, and now we get ours.
Yeah, I don't get too hyped up for those standard formats. But yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, so just Danny, do you want to give a quick shout out to Card Hoarder there for supporting the league?
Yeah, Card Hoarder has been absolutely amazing. I know I say this every week, but they have, you know, graciously sponsored the league. They give us 1,500 bot credits this year to give out as prizes. So when you come to the quarterly event on March 25th, there's going to be a decent amount of prizes given out to top 8. So hopefully you guys can make it. And, you know, big thanks to Card Hoarder.
Awesome. All right, cool. Dan, if someone wants to get a hold of you, where can they find you, man?
Yeah, they can find me on Twitter at BoboFraggles. They can find me also on Twitter for the Legacy League. It's at MTG Legacy League. And then on Facebook, Community Legacy League.
Awesome. Tom, how can they find you, man?
Negator77 on MTGO or The Source, or Tom Hepp on Facebook.
Cool. And Steven?
At NoOuts on Twitter or on Facebook, Steven Johnson. Good luck with that last one.
Well, that's not like a super unique name.
There's like my background image for my Facebook is a picture of a Magic tournament, so you'll know you're in the right place.
I actually just did it on Facebook, and there's a lot of you.
Yep.
Well, I'm much easier to find on Facebook if you just search for Yugalo. You'll find me or one of my siblings, so that's pretty easy to find. You can also find me at Pat Yugalo on Twitter. You can find me on the Living Legacy Facebook page as well. You can find my stream, twitch.tv/PatYugalo. You can find Tom's at twitch.tv/Negator77. So check him out, check me out. And, yeah, that's all I got for you guys this week. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think that's it from me.
I'm good.
All right, cool. We got to figure out something for the outro music because I've been, like, ending it just sort of awkwardly with silence. And well, I'm going to have to come up with some tunes to play at the end of the cast. So if you guys have any suggestions, I'm definitely down to field those.
Nice. Okay, cool. I'll Google something.
Excellent. All right, awesome, guys. Well, thanks again, and we'll catch you all next week.
All right, sounds good.